I want you all to stand with me and read this with me. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Psalm 95, beginning with verse 1. Now let's read aloud and read together. Verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Father, we pray today that You will hear us as we give thanks to You, as we offer to You the songs of praise, the shouts of joy and gladness, because, Lord, we realize that everything that we have is totally undeserved. You have given us freely of everything that we need. But because of who we are and what we are so undeserving. Which makes not only this Thanksgiving, but every day of our lives a time in which we are to thank You, to show our gratitude to You in praise, in worship, in service. No longer waiting for the other person, but standing and acting in love by Your mercy and by Your grace. Oh, Father, help us to understand this from Your word today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Y'all may be seated. I'm going to do my best to keep our service an hour long. But if I remember right, I think I started about 2 minutes late, so you can give me a two-minute cushion, I hope. Rudyard Kipling, who was the author of The Jungle Book, was so popular that his writings were earning him about $10 per word. That's pretty good. But a few college students, however, didn't appreciate Kipling's writings, so they sent him a letter, enclosing with it 10 shillings. Of course, in England, that would be about $10. And the letter simply read, "Please send us your best word." Well, they received a letter back from Rudyard Kipling, and that letter said, "Thanks." That's pretty wise, isn't it? Thanks. Well, he had an extra 10 shillings. Thanks. You know, that's a word that we're taught at an early age. Our parents are always after us, right? They were always after us. You remember when they used to say, "What do you say?" "Thank you." "What do you say?" But they told us, "You say thank you. Thank you. Thanks." Parents encourage their children to say thank you, because they don't want to look bad. Parents. I mean, I was taught the same thing, except that one time I went to an aunt's house and you know, she put a big plate of food in front of me, and my mom said, "What do you say?" I said, "Can I have more?" "Oh, thanks." Yeah, you know. But every one of us needs to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask you a question. Is that part of your vocabulary? Is that part of your daily wording, statements? At least once a day, or maybe three times a day? Breakfast, lunch, dinner? But is it part of your vocabulary? Is it part of your communication to the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Is it the first thing that you say in the morning? Because you have breath and you have sight and wow, your heart's beating. You say, thank you, Lord. One more day. The older you get, you really appreciate it. I can tell you this. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, the alarm goes off. Oh, thank you, Lord. One more day. One more day. May I, in this short time, encourage you to thank the Lord for some of the things that we find in this prayer that we just read in Psalm 95. The Lord is good. He's great. He's merciful. This is what we can see in the midst of these statements by the psalmist. God is good, isn't He? God is good. You remember that little prayer? God is great, God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Simple. But sometimes overlooked is the true sentiment. What that means. God is good. He's not just good when we want Him to be. You know, if we don't get our way, we must think that God isn't good. The fact of the matter is, whether we get our way or not, God is always good. God is good. In Psalm 107, verse 1, the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is good. His mercy endures forever." God is good. And that statement is to be cemented upon our minds, upon our hearts, upon our lips. God is good. He's a good God. You've often heard the expression, "Good Lord." I hope you haven't said it that way. But sometimes people say that, "Oh, good Lord, good God." And they're saying it, you know, sometimes because they're upset about something. But you're saying something more than you really realize. You're saying God is good, but you're upset. Why are you upset? He's good. Good God. Good Lord. Let's remember that God is a good Lord even when we're upset. Even when we may be angry. Or because we didn't get our way. We have a problem with that in this country. We feel like we have the right to have our way all the time. I think it would be good to check this to make sure that we know what we're asking for. And make sure it lines up with what God is wanting us to have. Because, you know, He never really doesn't give us what we need. He always gives us what we need. So what are we upset about? He's always good, and that will never change. You know, there's others that might say this other expression, and I think maybe you've heard it too. Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Really? Is it all good? Well, I can assure you that without the Lord, nothing is good. Without the Lord, nothing is good. So to make a statement like, well, all is good. Really, is all good today? Look at the world. Look at the way the things are going in this world. Are all things good? There's a world out there that doesn't want to know God. Not all things are good from that particular perspective. But from our perspective, in knowing who God is, we know that all things are good. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, "For all things work together for good to those who love Him." To those who are called according to His purpose, God says, He's good. Sometimes we think we're good ourselves, or the things we do are good. And I'm reminded of Isaiah 64, verse 6, when he says, but we are all like an unclean thing. I don't think that's good. And all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know, that's a description of what we are without God and separated from God and not having truly that connection with God's goodness. If we try to be good on our own, that's where we pretty much end up. Our righteousnesses, our thinking of our goodnesses, is just like filthy rags before God. But God is good. And that's never going to change. He's good when the world doesn't seem to be good. God is good when the world doesn't seem to be fair. And boy, there's a lot of unfairness today in the world. But you know what? God is good. Because God doesn't have to be fair, because He's right and He's righteous and He's true. But the fact of the matter is, He's good. Were we to sit here today and write a list of all the things that God has granted us, that God has given us, when we didn't even deserve one of those things, do we come to the realization that God has been good to us? Okay, so you don't have the Escalade in your garage. I don't want one anyway, it's too big. But we think that way. We don't have this, God must not be good. God is always good. That never changes. And let me say that God is good because of His mercy. God is good because of His mercy. I thank God for His mercy toward us in that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, who left heaven and all of its glory to come to this earth and give His life freely for you and me. That says something about the goodness of God and His mercy. That's how merciful God is. He didn't leave us to ourselves to try to save ourselves, to try to do anything whatsoever to bring ourselves into heaven, because we, in and of ourselves, we cannot do it. God is merciful. And He's merciful because He knows that we cannot save ourselves, because He knows that we're not good enough. John 3:16 and 17 says, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. That's all we have to really read into all of this today. God so loved the world that He gave. With that kind of love, He could have made a choice. But He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Isn't that good? That He didn't send His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved? That's goodness. That's mercy. Do we have a lot to be thankful for, Christian? Brothers and sisters in Christ, do we not have a lot to be thankful for to God this morning? What mercy God has shown to us, even while we were yet sinners. Romans 5, verse 8, Paul says, but God demonstrates. That's a tremendous statement. God demonstrates. He not only writes it and sends it to us, you know. He demonstrates it. Outright shows us, you see. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the greatest demonstration of love ever known by man. People demonstrate today over a lot of things. There are all kinds of demonstrations. Picket signs and people disrupting meetings of one sort or another. It's a demonstration. Comes to nothing when you think of that one demonstration. God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That should remind us that God is good because of His mercy. That's mercy. Let me add to that, that God is good because of His forgiving grace. God is good because of His forgiving grace, and mercy and grace always go hand in hand. God is good because of His forgiving grace and because of His mercy. We never can separate God's mercy and grace. Paul never separated it when he greeted the churches in his letters. Mercy and grace be to you. Grace is God's undeserved favor, and mercy is God keeping us from what we do deserve. That's how complete God's love is to us. His grace is His undeserved favor toward us, and His mercy is Him keeping us from what we do deserve. I think of how He is always ready. God is always ready to restore our fellowship with Him when we have struggled and when we have faltered. Don't you know that? You do know that, don't you? That God is always ready to restore our fellowship with Him when we have struggled and faltered, even to the point of severing that fellowship ourselves. I talked about that last night in the 50th chapter of Isaiah. That God was having to tell His people, "You're blaming me for your captivity, but you need to blame yourselves because it was your sin. You separated yourself from me. I didn't divorce you. Show me the paper. But you're in captivity because of your sin." Folks, please remember that God is always ready to forgive. And that's something that we need to praise God for and thank Him that He's ready to forgive. John says in his first letter, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Isn't that a ready God? Isn't He ready? Just waiting for us to confess our falterings, our failings, our sin. He waits. You know, the Lord teaches us that we ought to be waiting for the Lord, and we should. That we ought to be patient, and we should be. But I can tell you this, and we should shout amen and glory to this, that God waits better than we do. He has to wait a lot more for us than we have to for Him. God is more patient and more long-suffering. We're told in 2 Peter that God is so long-suffering that He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is how long-suffering God is. We ought to thank Him for His goodness and mercy and grace today. And continue to thank Him for that. But if there's anything that we need to thank Him for today, is because God is great. God is not just good. He is good. But God is great. God is great. There's an interesting cry that the Muslims say a lot, and we hear it on the news sometimes when they're doing their demonstrations. Allah Akbar. And most news people who don't really know the language, they say, well, they're just shouting, "God is great." In essence, what they're saying is not God is great, but God is greater. Their God, their Allah, is great. It's not the same God, by the way. And if you understand the statement, going back into the history of Islam, you realize that He's greater than all the other gods that they worshipped, even though they say they only worship one God. They had a lot of gods. You have to go back and understand and study that a little bit, but the fact of the matter is, our God is simply great, which means that He's over and above all things, over and above all gods, as we read in our text. He is great. God is great. The Lord is the great God, verse 3, and the great King above all gods. There's no need for competition with God. He's just great. In Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age," or in the present age, "looking for," notice this, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think we lost it there. Why did you see it? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God. You see that? Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what this day is about. Giving thanks to a great God. And because He's a great God, we're looking for Him, looking for the blessed hope, His return, to mark the very promise that He said, I will come back for you. I'm going to come back. I'm going to return. I'm coming again. Because He's a great God to keep His promises. And the main reason that God is great is because of what He can do. He is Almighty God. He is, as it says in the Hebrew, He is El Shaddai. He is God, the Mighty God. So today, while you're watching football, anybody going to watch football? Who's going to admit it? We're in such a spiritual moment here. You're going to watch football today, and somebody might say, wow, that was a great play. Might have been a great play for that moment. The next play, they might fumble. That was a great play. Oh, yeah. Or we may pay a compliment to today's chef and say to them, oh, that was a great meal. What is it that Tony the Tiger always says about Frosted Flakes? They're great! No. God is great. God is great. And what makes God so great? Jeremiah 32, verses 17 through 19. Ah, Lord God. That expression by itself, we could spend an hour talking about. Ah, Lord God. What words can we say at the goodness, mercy, grace, and greatness of our God? Ah, Lord God. Behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. You know, I've always thought this is a great picture. God only needs one arm if He wants to do anything. A lot of times we say arms. He only needs one arm. There's nothing too hard. Nothing too hard for You. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, notice, the great, the mighty God whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for Your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of their doings or his doings. That's a great God, isn't it? Who shows loving kindness but also gives counsel and gives judges righteously. That's a great God. There's nothing too hard for Him. He made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see. And you know what? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't put Him in a box and say, well, He did that back then. He doesn't do it today. He still does it today. And we can still trust Him today to touch those that we know are in infirmities and in pains and in struggles. I prayed for someone last night who came because their mother just found out that she has cancer. I met him outside and I just said, let's pray. God is a great God. Let's pray because God is good. God is great. He parted the Red Sea after having set the children of Israel free from their bondage. And then Jesus Himself walked on the water and calmed the sea, and He can calm the storms of your life as well. Today, right now. He's not just a good God. He is a great God. And God deserves thanks. You can say amen if you want. I got up early this morning too, you know. I want to be encouraged. Isn't God great? Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. That's really not for me, it's for Him. God deserves thanks. He deserves the sounds of our voices. Lift it up in praise. Lift it up in thanksgiving. He deserves it. We ought not to be silent anymore. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy. Not one of us. We sometimes act that we don't like it over here. We don't like this person or that. He made me upset. I'm not going to worship God. What's wrong with you? Whether I hurt you or not, God is still worthy of praise. Please understand that. Don't come here thinking that you come here to please men. You've come here to please God. Because He deserves our worship. He deserves glory. He deserves honor. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of thanksgiving. God deserves thanks. Ephesians 5 verse 20, Paul says, giving thanks always. Notice, not just when you feel good, not just when you get what you want. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in my last 2 minutes of the next hour. This means that we are to thank Him in good times and in bad times. This means we are to thank Him in triumphs as well as in our trials and tribulations. This means that we are to thank Him in our victories as well as in our valleys and in the depths of our hurts and pains. I want you to consider, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm almost done, really. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved. Notice, grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though for a little while you may suffer and be grieved by various trials, yet in the genuineness of your faith, it may be found to praise and honor and glory. In other words, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God deserves thanks for everything. God deserves thanks for everything. Here's another little prayer. Maybe it'll be said today in some households. God is good. God is great. And we thank Him for our plate. By His hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Simple. A child's prayer. But it begins where it should. God is good. God is great. He's the one we appreciate. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for all that He does. For all that He's doing, for all that He's done, for all that He will do. He's worthy of it and deserving of praise.